Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is part two of a four-part sermon series entitled, Come to the Table, with today's message specifically entitled, Guess Who's Coming, based off of Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. So, let us dive into the Word today. Then Jesus turned to his host. When you put on a luncheon or a banquet, he said, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then, at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Amen. Most would agree to share meals with individuals who are familiar to them or with those they know and are familiar with. Yet Christ contends that the table is less about familiarity and more about hospitality and care. Now, we all love going to dinner with our favorite aunt or family member or best friends who tell the best jokes, and we look forward to such dinners because they are going to be memorable. However, what happens when we go to dinner and we don't know what to expect? Recently, I finished a series on DC Universe, which is a streaming service by DC Comics called Stargirl. That's the name of the show. And the character was created by Geoff Johns in honor of his late sister who died in a plane crash. Now, Stargirl, whose real name is Courtney Whitmore, is a teenage girl whose dad abandoned her and whose mom remarried. Because of that marriage, the family ends up moving from L.A. to a town in Nebraska. Quite a change, as you can imagine. Courtney, of course, has a really hard time adapting to that change, especially as the new kid at high school. There's one scene where no one invites her or permits her to sit with them at the lunch table, and eventually she ends up sitting at the, and I quote, loser's table. As it turned out, though, the loser's table was exactly where she needed to be, and those supposed losers ended up becoming her best friends. More than that, when she discovered she was chosen to be a superhero, those friends became superheroes with her and became her partners and allies. How awesome. Seriously. It was such a good show that I will be rewatching it the first season all over again. I mean, it was just a really good show in so many different ways. It was more than just a superhero show. It really transcended that and was so relatable. We, or at least I anyway, have been the outsider in the group. You know that feeling when everyone else knows each other, yet you find yourself sitting there looking around and asking the question, who are these people? And will anyone even talk to me? And you just sit there awkwardly as other people are carrying conversations with one another, and there you are, the odd duck out. Coincidentally enough, by the end of the evening, for the most part, we find ourselves meeting new people and gaining new insights. There have been times where that hasn't happened, but more times than not, you do end up meeting new people and gaining new insights. It is God that calls us out of our places of familiarity into this place of fellowship at the table. In the scripture today, Luke gives us insight into the details of Jesus' ministry. First, Christ meets us at the place of humility and reminds us that God is glorified in our meekness. The Pharisees, who Jesus was dining with during our passage, didn't understand that. They invited Jesus because he was a great teacher and miracle worker who had caught their intrigue. They invited him because of who he was, and they thought having him there was an honor to him because of who they were, because of their status and position. And they invited him to honor themselves, having such a renowned teacher and miracle worker dine with them at their table. How great would that be? They could question him and converse and get into theology and do all that fun stuff that religious leaders such as myself like to do. At the beginning of chapter 14, just for a little context, Luke tells us that as Jesus was walking with the Pharisees to their place in order to have this meal, he saw and healed a person whose arms and legs were terribly swollen. And anybody who deals with swelling can relate to this person. And the Pharisees questioned him on this because it was the Sabbath. They were fine with walking and cooking and supping on the Sabbath. But they would not have, were it not for Jesus. They would have, were it not for Jesus, passed on by that person in need. Because they can't work on the Sabbath. And then the funny thing about that is having a big, supper with guests over is work, is it not? Anybody who's prepared meals for guests know the kind of work that's involved in that. But yet this work of healing somebody in need, that was too much. Can't do it. It breaks the law. So Jesus countered them on it, not only by healing the person, but by questioning them. Would you not save your donkey if it fell into a hole? On the Sabbath? Surely you wouldn't leave it there to die. Well, then why would I leave this person here suffering? Then when he arrived at the table, he saw people racing to sit in the places of honor, and Jesus reminded them that humility is what God requires. In fact, he said, don't be the one who races in and sits at the head next to the head of the table on the right-hand side in the place of honor. Because isn't it better to sit in a place of humility and be invited to come up to a place of honor than to be sitting in a place of honor and told, sorry, that spot's not for you? And then we get to what we read today and what follows, which is the parable of the great banquet. And in that parable, which we didn't read, but the passage that we read just precedes it, that parable, Jesus tells of a great rich person who wants to hold a banquet in his household, and he invites people to it. And at first they're like, yeah, let's go. That'd be great. How awesome. But when it comes time for them to come, each and every one of them has an excuse for not coming. One just got married and can't be bothered. The other has got, lawn work to do. And the other, comes up with some other excuse. And basically, none of the guests that were invited ever end up showing up. And so when the servant comes back to the master and says, no one's coming, he gets angry. And he says, go out into the streets and invite anyone and everyone you can to come to this party. Poor or not, just invite them. And so he invites people who are poor. He invites people who are lame and crippled. He invites people who are the outcasts to this party, and they all willingly accept and come. Now, this parable brings us to the second insight into Jesus' ministry. Because you see, in the parable, Jesus is basically saying, look, the banquet hall, that's heaven. The one holding the banquet, that's God. The ones who were originally invited but refused to come, those are the Pharisees. And look who ends up coming to the banquet. The ones that the Pharisees and society generally reject, because God welcomes all to the table. What a powerful parable. And this brings us to the second insight into Jesus' ministry that Luke provides. Christ's table is not about us being comfortable. It's not about familiarity. Rather, it's about us making space for others who bring different perspectives. You, my friends, you all are children of God. We are all children of God. God makes room for you at the table. God makes room for us all at the table. We all have something special to contribute to the conversation of inclusivity. Imagine a world where our differences don't have to divide us, and we can celebrate both what brings us together and what makes us diverse. Imagine a world where people sought to be harmonized as opposed to being divided over their differences. And by the way, harmony isn't about everything being the same. Harmony is the bringing together of different unique notes that work together to make a chord. Difference. Inclusion. Harmony. Being the body of Christ does not mean that we will not have uncomfortable experiences, by any means. But rather, we can all work together and we can all work toward making space for the uniqueness that exists within the kingdom of God. If a gym such as Planet Fitness can pride itself in being a, quote, judgment-free zone, end quote, how much more can we as the church do the same and be a judgment-free zone? That should be our mantra. We should be the ones who have coined that. So as I always say, the table of Christ is open to all who love Christ and are willing to participate at the table. Anyone, no matter who they are, anyone can come to that table, for that invite is open to all. And guess who's coming? It may be that person who comes in disheveled clothing, whose hygiene is not the greatest. It may be that person who always looks strung out or has alcohol on their breath. It may be that person who is an annoying know-it-all, or that person who carries themselves like Eeyore. It could be someone like with lots of money and a huge home, or that person who is homeless without a dime to their name. Heck, it could even be a rockin' gothic pastor with creepy monster tattoos on one arm and rockin' godly tattoos on the other. Regardless, all are welcome at the table. And the only way we represent Christ and witness his love is by being a judgment-free zone. As the church, may we seek to be a place where people don't feel judged, but rather know that they have a place at the table. We must seek to be a place where people don't feel judged, but know that they have a place at the table. So let us be challenged by that and move away from the Pharisaic table of judgment to the Christ-ordained table of grace. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I just thank you and praise you for all that you are doing. I thank you and praise you, Lord, for the great work that you are doing in your church. Lord, God knows that we oftentimes are far from being a judgment-free zone. But that is what you have called us to be. And though we may not be perfect, that is who you are leading us to be. So Lord, open our hearts, soften our hearts, and open our minds to following your guidance and becoming exactly who you were and who you are and who you always will be, so that we may not only grow the kingdom of heaven, but that its reign, your reign, will be supreme on earth forever and ever. Amen. Folks, it's always good for us to be here. And it's good for me to be able to deliver these messages to you this way. And I'm always thrilled that you tune in week after week and listen to them and hopefully get something out of them. I write these messages for you. And honestly, to be truthful, sometimes I write them for me too. I'm on the journey as much as anybody else is. And, you know, I don't always get things right. But God is grace, God is love, and God will lead us to the kingdom of heaven if we just accept the invite to the table and allow others to do the same. Friends, again, thank you for joining. Check out the episode notes. Share this with as many people as you can. As always, if this is your church experience week in, week out, if this is where you're getting your messages and you want to support First United Methodist Church of Newton, we'd be glad to accept your support, and we'd be grateful for it. If you have another church elsewhere, support them. They need it as much as us. But in all things, my friends, remember, you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Amen. Go in peace.